Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters. BBS Talk Radio. Laugh. Cry. Fall asleep. Only with BBS Talk Radio. You're listening to California Dreaming with your hosts Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Sam and Manu Show. This is Monday morning. We're all back from our nice weekend. Good morning, Manu.
Nice weekend.
Yes. It wasn't for you, huh?
It disappeared.
Okay, you're in the fucking pits today.
It disappeared.
And yeah, and you'll tell us what's going on in a minute.
I could have no job. That's what's going on.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, that's what we got to listen to today. Okay, so let's hear about it. Do you want to share it with us?
No.
Why?
Well, I wasn't going to talk about it until you brought it up.
Oh, shit. Oh, no. This is going to be such a morning, man. Like a PMS'd woman, a woman scorned. She's walking into the office, and now she's ready to kill me for some reason.
No.
Probably everything I say, I better think 10 times before I say it this morning.
No.
Okay.
So, what you need to do, actually, is go to the website Raw Replay. And on there, we yet have another black preacher, so to speak, who calls Obama, right, born trash and born to a whore.
Really? Is that what he calls him?
Because she is white.
Who's white? Oh, the one that's calling him that?
Obama's mother.
Oh, Obama's mother. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So?
So, oh, you want to play it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I told you. Like, you
no,
need
I
to
thought
go
you
to
were
website.
Telling the listeners to go there. No. I don't know.
Well, and you.
Okay. All right. So, what's it called? Role play?
Raw replay.
R-A-W.
Just the way it sounds.
Okay.
Raw replay.
Okay. We'll go there in a moment. Good morning to everybody. Hope you had a great, great weekend. Well, I did, and it was there was a lot of action in the station as usual for the weekend. We get more shows, and people are just listening in droves. So we're committed to bringing you better radio every day. And Manu, where is it exactly?
Raw Replay, and I think you
have I'm there. I'm there. But you got to talk into the microphone, Manu. Okay, we'll find it. Maybe during the break or something. So you had a shitty weekend.
No, it was just an eventful weekend.
Oh, eventful.
Yeah.
Okay, was there anything else that we might want to know about? Or is it just the bad news?
No. I just got a call last night because our business, there was some management, you know, turning around, so to speak, and I was one of the management that was brought on by the other management that were dismissed.
Right.
So it could
well,
be
welcome
very well
to the business world, Manu. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's it's unfortunate, but that's what happens.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I feel for you. I mean, I'm not meaning to downplay this. I mean, this is serious stuff. You know, I mean, every time somebody loses a job, it's not funny.
And, no, it takes me months.
This is livelihood.
To get another job.
You know, this is paying for your bills and shit.
Yeah.
So our hearts are with you, Manu, and I hope that that things will turn out for the best for you.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they will.
Wow.
Okay. You can always start like cleaning up the office and stuff, you know, and maybe we'll pay you like $5 an hour or something. You can clean the offices around here.
You know what?
Hey, it's a job, Manu.
No, fuck that. I actually got an email from Australia yesterday from, you know, like the upgrade of, you know, like our employment.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like what we get paid, da-da-da. And the minimum wage now in Australia is $19.80.
Wow. And how many U.S. dollars is that?
It's got nothing to do with the U.S. dollars.
Okay.
It's what it is. It's comparison to what we earn in Australia. And what we earn in Australia compared to what someone would earn in the U.S., it's basically like living as if you were living earning $60,000 a year here.
Mm-hmm.
Is what?
That's the minimum wage.
That would be a minimum wage back home.
Wow, that's very nice. Maybe we should move to Australia. I don't know what the hell you're doing here.
I know, but the thing, I guess what my point is, just like, what it does, and it's just like this fucking gas thing. I'm just seeing the gas just going up and up and up. And then when it drops 5-7 cents, mm-hmm. everyone goes like, oh, cheaper gas, right?
Yeah.
And then it goes up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So everyone's all like, what was the word, psyched into thinking that, oh, we've, you know, at, say, $3.50, everybody's already psyched that our gas has gotten cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about it, only like 3 years ago, we were only paying, what, less than $2?
Right.
Or maybe a little over $2. Even that was hell of expensive.
Yeah, well, that's the world. What are you going to do? You know, I mean, we got to go along with what's going on. You know?
I know. No, we don't.
No?
Actually, no.
What
we
are
don't
we
fucking
do?
Need to go along with that.
So how are you going to fight it?
Because as a group of people, we need not to be fucking condoned in this fear bullshit that the politicians and bureaucratic assholes out there want us to believe. Or it's like pushing us, moving us as groups of sheep. Keep us dumb, keep us down, keep us ignorant, don't expose us to any of the real news out there, and then that'll be all okay. You got the big people making all the fucking money while all the other people are not making a stand or are too afraid to make a stand for what they believe in. Instead, they all behave like sheep and go along with the whole fucking roll.
Right. Okay, so that's the problem. What's the solution?
Stand up for your fucking rights. That's what we do in Australia.
No, tell me.
That's what we do in France.
As a person,
listen,
I want to.
If our Prime
Manu,
Minister...
Manu, don't fucking kill me, okay?
No, no, I'm not killing you. I'm talking about, I'm making
Manu,
a point here.
Manu, you're irritated. Here. Admit it, and then we'll take it from there.
No. Okay. Our people in Australia, mm-hmm. right, when we decided that Johnny Howard, that was it, he's gone,
right.
We all stood up and said, you've got to go, we're having another election. We didn't have to wait around for all this bullshit, you know, waiting for the next elections. We went ahead... And we stood as a group of a large population and said, we want a new prime minister and we want a new election. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Same with the pay. The people of Australia said, okay, the cost of gas is getting a little higher. Maybe the cost of living is getting a little higher. We deserve more pay so that we can compensate for that.
Right. But
so that we're compensated
pay, don't
for
you
that.
Think that higher wages mean higher prices? In the market?
No, that's wrong.
Why?
Well, look, what we pay in Australia, mm-hmm. right, is way less than what we pay here.
For what? For anything?
Okay, check this out. For some bizarre reason, right, because now I'm working at a restaurant, and we're supposed to be one of the most inexpensive so-called family restaurants. Okay? So we still sell a burger for $9 to $12, a freaking burger. And that's supposed to be... You know, one of the least expensive ones, except if you go to a deli. But even if you go to a deli, that burger is still like $6-7.
Mm-hmm.
Then on top of that, you're expected to tip. Most people, the minimum wage here is $8 an hour. Most people who are working in office environments, their minimum wage without tips is like $10 to $12. Look at me. I'm in management. I'm being paid $13 an hour.
Yeah. If you went to a similar restaurant in Australia, how much would you pay for that burger?
This is exactly what I'm talking about. We would probably pay probably about from the, like, because I just started, like, re-examining everything.
Right.
It's, depending on where you go, it's between $5.50 to $7.50.
Okay, so that's the price of a hamburger.
Right, yes.
Okay, now let me ask you this, okay?
And we don't have to tip.
Right, I understand. But let me ask you this. You're producing a product, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Labor costs you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you determine the price based on that.
Yeah.
Now, let's say you have to pay double the cost on labor. What would you do to the price? Would you make less money or would you raise the price?
But the thing is, Sam...
No, answer me. Answer me. I'm asking you. If it costs you double for the labor, would you keep the price the same?
You would cut costs somewhere else.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the difference, right? In Australia, okay, America is already number one, the most wasteful country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to restaurant foods, takeaways, and everything like that. All of that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's use McDonald's for an example. Someone goes to McDonald's, they buy a hamburger. It's all wrapped up in all this stuff. And then in there, they throw what? 10, 15 fucking napkins. They throw in like a handful of tomato sauce sachets. They throw in a handful of whatever else they want to throw in. For instance, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a lot of excess stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You get a drink, and not only do you get one straw, you might even get four straws. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But even though this might sound stingy, mm-hmm. right? But back home, you actually get the wrapper.
Mm-hmm.
There is no bag. You get two tomato sauce sachets, and you get two napkins.
Okay, so each one of those costs pennies. Okay, what I'm asking you is this. How can someone sell a hamburger for $6 when they have to pay their employees $20 an hour? I want to understand.
Because
that.
We've got the system down. That's what it is. We have compromised.
What system do you have down? Business is business, okay?
We have figured out a way to conserve and stop wastage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to.
Okay, so for a $6 hamburger, you're wasting a dollar. Fine. Okay,
but as an overall, it becomes a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm working in this restaurant, and what I am seeing being thrown away, like cups being thrown away. I mean, like takeout. I mean, just stuff just being thrown
Manu,
away.
Manu, let me ask you this:
away.
You're the owner of the restaurant, okay? You have to sell hamburgers for $6-$7. You have to pay your employees $20 an hour. Are you going to make money? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, how?
Because of being sure that you don't overemploy, you don't overpurchase, and you don't waste.
So you really think that companies overemploy if they can save money?
I can tell you right now, I do know that our company, our business right there, has way too many people.
Right.
Has way too many people.
Okay.
Unnecessary.
All right. So if you reduce the number of employees, then you're saying we can pay him $20 an hour.
But you're talking about these companies now making a huge profit.
Do you think here, that's okay, I'm asking you again. You're saying, look, Australia's better because they pay us $20 an hour for minimum wage, but a hamburger costs the same as in the United States. What I'm saying here, we're paying a third of that in labor, and the hamburger still costs the same. How is that possible, Manu? Explain it to me, because in Economics 101, I learned this shit doesn't work. It can't work.
Well, then maybe you should go to France or Ireland or even Australia and New Zealand and see how they do it, because they seem to do it, Sam.
All right. Okay. I'm going to investigate this shit. I'm telling you.
In 1984.
Mm-hmm.
I was being paid $10 an hour, right, to pump freaking gas and to wash windscreens in 1985.
Right.
In a small itty-bitty town.
Okay. All right. So, I don't know. Again,
you see what I'm
Manu, saying? Yeah, I'm going to drop the fucking subject, but let me just tell you one more thing, okay?
No. And the thing is like when you've got groups of people who know that they have power, like that they are going to be listened to as a group of people. Mm-hmm. And when we say group of people, we are a group of people that do not live in fear mm-hmm. or live in ignorance mm-hmm. or live as if we're being downplayed or underpowered. Mm-hmm. Other countries like New Zealand, Australia, France, and there's probably a few more out there, don't live like that. Mm-hmm. They all stand as people, as one, to say, we deserve this. We are the people of this country, and we will tell you what we want. And the politicians, the government, has to listen to them.
Okay. So how would you organize people to do that here?
Well, nah, I think it's a lost cause now.
Oh, okay. So you're presenting the problem, but there's no solution, you're saying.
I'm hoping that in the year 2012, mm-hmm. which is what the Mayan calendar is suggesting, that there may be a shift or a move towards the unconscious thoughts.
Yeah. Okay, so we're all going to live by the Mayan fucking calendar.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's true.
Yeah, why not? Why not live by the fucking Buddhist calendar or there's some fucking...
But there is no Buddhist calendar.
Well, there is, okay?
The Mayan calendar is mm-hmm. very specific.
Right, and it tells us exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, Manu. Okay, that's fine.
Well, it's proven in the last century.
I think you fucking lost your mind over the weekend because of this firing shit, but what do I know, right? Anyway, listen.
No, I just found this out last night. At 9 o'clock, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So, my whole weekend. No, I partied all weekend.
You did?
Fuck yeah.
Well, yeah. Nice. Nice. That's what I want to hear, you see. So, listen to this. I mean, this made headlines on CNN.com. Two Los Angeles freeway drivers shot.
Oh, okay? Yes. I know.
Now, you know what that happened? That happened right where I live. Exactly. Okay, right at the exit that I always take on the uh-huh. freeway, on the 101.
Yeah, I heard about
that.
Okay?
Yeah. Now, so I didn't have to drive through there to go downtown because this apparently happened just like the exit before I get on the freeway. So they must have closed everything because my wife later said the freeway was closed. Okay? Mm-hmm. So apparently, they cordoned off the area with yellow ribbons and shit. And... And they're showing here on in the picture. Mm-hmm. So the point is that apparently somebody shot a driver as he was going up on the on-ramp, and the driver in the head, shot him in the head, and then they just why am I hearing all this? You hear sirens?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay. So I mean, imagine on the 36th floor, and we can hear sirens. They must be pretty loud. So he shot him in the head, and the guy just hit the wall. You know, the protective wall
right.
on the freeway, and died.
Right.
So, you know, and
so
that's
they shut down the highway.
Yeah. So, and my thing is that, I mean, this has happened before in L.A. Now, imagine, Manu, there's nowhere to go. You're stopped in traffic, and you're going to sit there for hours without anywhere to get out of there. There's
yeah,
no
you
way.
You just go off the next exit.
Excuse me. Okay. Before that exit, okay? You're driving. Let's say you're driving on the freeway. Suddenly, cars are stopped in front of you. You stop, right?
Okay. Oh, well, that's just bad luck anywhere. Having that happen right away.
Exactly.
And then you just happen to be right before that exit.
Right.
Well, that's just bad luck. But I'm talking about the people who want to follow.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is that you never know that it's going to be something that's going to take hours, you know, because in L.A., I mean, you always have stop and go traffic.
Yeah.
You can't possibly know that ahead of you there's a total stoppage of the traffic.
Yeah.
So you pretty much just park your car. You might as well get out of the car, light up a cigarette. Hopefully you have some food and some munchies. And you just fucking sit there for hours until they decide to. Because remember, they have to investigate the scene.
Yeah.
So it's going to take them a few hours to do that, you know, especially when you have no witnesses, there's nothing. They're going to try and investigate everything.
I know. Do you want to hear a really gruesome story about dead bodies on the freeway?
I know, but I'm sure you're going to tell me anyway.
All right. Check this out. William and I, we're cruising along the freeway in his little bus. And we saw, like, you know, the stoplights, you know, kind of like another car stopping in front of us and everything, and do this big old swerve and stuff. So we thought, oh, okay, he's missing something. So we go over, and then lo and behold, I was like, my God, that looks like a body, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. We drove past it. It was a fucking mutilated body. Either he had been dumped out of a car mm-hmm. on the way, you know what I mean, like pushed out of a car.
Right.
Or we couldn't see any kind of bike or anything like that. So the only assumption that we had was that he was dumped on the freeway. Mm. And he had been hit a couple of times by cars.
Wow. Now, I mean, this could also be... Yeah, but, you know, it could be a wandering person, like a homeless person or something,
yeah,
and they walk right on the freeway.
Yeah, you could be right, too.
You know, because...
That could be right, too.
This reminds me, we went one night to a restaurant, and we stood on... waiting to get in on Ventura Boulevard.
Yeah.
Suddenly you hear like this bang, and I'm looking over, and this guy is flying in the air, and there's like an SUV right there. So he was in the middle lane and the turn lane.
Right.
And this woman, you know, apparently was driving on that lane, which you're not supposed to do. You're just supposed to turn
right.
in the middle lane.
Right.
So she was driving on there. It was dark.
Oh, and so someone was standing in the middle of the lane.
Yeah, and it was a homeless man that I saw a couple minutes before that on the sidewalk. So he just crossed the street, and she hit him. And he fucking flew up in the air, lay still on the ground, and God knows what the fuck happened later. But the paramedics came and stuff, and they just took him away. But, you know, how terrible is that, you know?
I know.
And so you never know. I mean, these guys, like, you can't rely on them. You don't know what they're going to do. So
no.
It's possible he walked on the... So that was the freeway that you were in?
Yeah, that was the 10 between Los Feliz and the 110. Like,
oh, wow.
Exit. Yeah, right in there.
Wow.
So I was just like, wow, that's kind of weird.
But like you left it to someone else to call 911.
Well, hell yeah. I mean, like, fuck.
Yeah, what do I care? I'm in L.A. I don't give a shit. I'm not supposed to give a shit.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, ew, I don't think I would have wanted to stop to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, on Friday, on the way to work, I see this homeless, or actually, I don't even know if he was homeless, but this, he was a black man, and all he had was a hospital robe on. Nothing else underneath, mm-hmm. and you could see his ass and everything like that going on. No shoes, no nothing.
Where was that now?
It was on, what's that, Vine?
I mean, was that like on the street?
On the street. Vine and Sunset Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
He's just like walking along Sunset Boulevard.
With a hospital robe?
With a freaking hospital robe
wow.
on, with nothing else underneath, bare feet and everything, just
wow.
like totally out of his head.
That's terrible.
You know what I mean? That's
yeah.
that's just unbelievable.
I know.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
But on a more positive note, yesterday I'm like, before I leave the house, I'm sitting on the balcony working on the laptop as usual. And, you know, I mean, I always see all these people walking their dogs, and I see this, like, stunning-looking woman across the street walking a dog, and I've never seen her before, right? She's fucking beautiful. She's wearing, like, a sweater with no bra, obviously, and all you could see is prickly, sticking-out nipples, okay? I mean, she had pretty small boobs, but it's like, it got my attention because I've never seen anything like this. I mean, like, probably A-size boobs and 6-inch nipples, you know? I mean, they were just, like, lifting the whole fucking shirt.
Oh, you know what? That sounds kind of gross.
Going, it's not fucking gross, Manu. I mean, you see nipples from across the street, okay? You're a man, you get turned on, okay?
No, yeah. I mean, just the envision.
Those are like fucking pencil erasers, man.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. If I was a man, I could not be turned on by that.
Really?
Yeah, that would just totally gross me out.
I'm telling you, Manu, a man sees tits, he sees tits.
Well, there's some ass men out there. How's that sound?
There's what?
There's some ass men out there.
Oh, ass men. Yeah.
Ass men. Or legs men.
Yeah. Yeah. There's parts of everything. I'm pretty much a whole body man. You know, I'll take any part.
You'll take any part.
As long as it looks good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I know. I'm getting out of hand, man. I'm really getting out of control here. But I don't know what to do. You know, I mean, it's like beautiful women all over. What are you going to do? You know, and
you would be so bad in Australia.
Yeah, I know. That's what you told me, you know, but I mean, look, it's not like there's a lack of people here. You know, I mean, there's plenty here, and it seems like all the beautiful people are moving here anyway. So, you know, all your waitresses, all your bartenders, they're all actors or actresses.
Yeah, for the most part,
you know,
probably 90% of them.
Yeah, and most people that are trying to be actors and actresses
yeah.
are beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, they're halfway presentable, I figure.
But usually they're between the ages of 21 and 26, 27.
That's okay. My cutoff is like 19, so I'm okay there.
All right.
Hey, look, she's legal. I'll take it.
Oh, what's the age legal here? 18? Is it 18?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
18. Well, you certainly don't see that in Vegas, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I saw some old guy, an old guy. She was probably only about 15 or 16 years old, and she was propositioning him in the street right there on Las Vegas Street, Vegas Strip. So you see that all the time in Vegas.
Yeah.
Just really young girls, all dressed up to the hilt like prostitutes.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I used to live in Vegas in the 70s, and I remember we used to cruise up and down the strip and see all these girls. Did I tell you about it? I think I told you about it. But Fremont Street, which is now like a sidewalk.
Right.
I mean, you can't drive there. Used to be a street that you can drive both directions.
Through,
okay. So we would cruise, just like in the 60s movies when they used to cruise on Van Nuys Boulevard.
Right.
I don't know if you saw American Graffiti or one of those. But that's what they did. So in the 70s, in Vegas, we used to cruise up and down. And always in the other... So it was like, you know, like snail pace. So you could actually start talking to the girls going the other direction, you know?
Oh.
So we are like almost stopped, you know? The traffic is barely moving because there's so many cars. And you're picking up girls.
Yeah.
And you go to parties together. And you go... They used to have parties in the mountains, you know, with pot and kegs of beer and shit like that. And people would just invite you. They'd have like flyers and like, yeah, there's a party, you know? People would go there. And it'd just be awesome.
Yeah, they still have those parties up at Mount Charleston.
Yes, Mount Charleston, you know, no AIDS, no diseases, no nothing, nobody afraid of anything.
Ooh,
you know?
Not now.
I mean, there was just
Vegas
free sex,
is number one now.
Free sex for the taking.
Yeah, but see, people are still under the impression that if you go to Vegas, prostitution is legal, and it's not.
No, it's not legal.
You know what I mean? It is not legal.
No.
And so you've got these guys.
It's in the other counties.
Yeah.
In the neighboring counties.
These guys are like, woohoo, you know, prostitution is free, and you know what I mean, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And of course, they're shocked because there are so many prostitutes in Vegas, or call girls, that, I mean, it's just like, my God, you would think, you would totally think that it would be legal. I mean, that it is legal.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, they look the other way. They know need
most
prostitutes.
People, yeah, there. Most...
That's what people go there for.
Most
you
law
know?
Enforcement do turn the other eye.
Yeah.
However,
you know, it's like Amsterdam. That's like the Vegas of Europe, you know? So they figure, look, people come here to fucking get high. We're going to make it legal, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what happened.
Now people are coming to California to be high.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
I know. But, well, obviously, you still can't go and sit at a cafe or something and smoke a joint. But, so...
I went to a club where we could stand around and smoke joints.
Really? Here?
On Friday night, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
To my amazement, I went like, oh, wow, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I bet you all the medical marijuana people go there.
Yeah,
know?
Probably.
It's like, yeah, let's all get together and shit.
Yeah, probably.
I know.
I was like, wow, this is a wow.
Yeah.
I mean, what else can you say? It's like, okay.
I know. I just think weed is like so widespread now.
Yeah.
And it seems like almost everybody's smoking now. You know, it's like, I think there for a while, you know, there was a decline, people doing more cocaine and shit like that. But it seems like everybody's doing pot now.
Yeah, you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
Except for those who were on cocaine before.
Yeah.
They can't stop that shit. Or heroin,
cocaine
for that matter.
Cocaine sucks, man. I never liked it at all. Never liked it. You know, sometimes did it. That was like during the 80s. And...
I just couldn't imagine trying to snort that shit up your nose.
Yeah, well, it's not that pleasant. But you know what? With cocaine, it was the ritual. You know, it's sort of like you're at a party. It's like you want to do a line. Sure, let's go in the bathroom. You go, you lock the door, you do a couple lines, you come out. You know, you feel like better than everybody else. But I never.
Do you? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's kind of a ritual. I think when you do things in hiding, it always feels good.
I don't know. I remember in Vegas, I had one guy try to cut a line on my table.
On the dealer table? On the casino?
Fucking, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I leaned over. I said, "Sir, you need to put that away now.
Really?
You cannot have this." "What? It's the Hard Rock, man. Like, I can't do a line here, man. It's the Hard Rock."
Wow.
I'd be like, "Put your shit back in your fucking pocket and get the fuck out."
Wow. Was that your job to do it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm the one that has to say something, yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
but do they train you for that? I mean, I can't imagine they would say,
if
someone pulls out cocaine, tell them to put it away.
No, but this is the Hard Rock.
So use your own discretion.
This was just the Hard Rock because I'm serious. People come to the Hard Rock and they think it's the Hard Rock and it's an excuse to really misbehave.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw the most ridiculous stuff there. It was unbelievable.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I was dealing away, and I mean, and here's this girl. She starts, you know, I saw her fondling and, you know, and so on, you know what I mean, underneath the table. And it's like, oh, well, dude's getting his dick rubbed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the next thing you could tell is she started pulling him off.
Really?
So I leaned over to her and I said, "I would suggest that you take this somewhere else now." Both of you.
How do people have those fucking balls to do that? You know?
I have no idea.
That amazes me.
I have no idea. Yeah.
Jerking him off under the table.
I'm like, I do not fucking appreciate that shit at all. You think I'm going to get, you know, like, pleasant about it? No.
Fuck no. My new's not going to let you get away with that shit.
Same with catching dudes fucking in the bathroom, you know. Like, because our bathroom, the women's bathroom was on the way to, you know, the employee lounge, so to speak, to the elevator that takes us up to the employee lounge.
Right.
And, like, so we used to go into there. And, my God, all the time, and particularly on a Friday, Saturday nights, we'd see, you know, couples, you know, fucking away.
Really?
In one of the stalls. So I'd go back out, call the security. Like, "Security, get these assholes out of the bathroom."
Yeah.
I mean, but you would see evidence of coke and syringes, you know, in the bathrooms. I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah.
And that's because it's the Hard Rock, and people think that because you're at the Hard Rock, it, you know, it's the excuse to misbehave or do, you know, shit
well,
like that.
Well, it probably has that reputation.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I know that Howard Stern did his shows there and stuff when, like once a year he used to do a show in Vegas.
Yeah.
Like a whole week. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where they did it, at the Hard Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess they're a little more tolerating than other casinos.
Well, yeah, we are a little bit more tolerating, but I mean, there is a point. I mean, they're a little bit more tolerating when we deal with drunks and loudmouths.
Yeah.
You go to any other casino, you will not hear that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You'll find that the dealers at the Hard Rock are a lot more interactive with their customers, you know, high-fiving or, you know, high-fiving or doing shit like that. Yeah, you know, that kind of stuff. I got over that real quick because I thought, this is fucking stupid. Oh, well. Well, at least I suppose.
Do you remember who Kathy Lee Gifford is?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And she's an obnoxious woman that used to be with Regis Philbin on his show.
Yes,
remember?
Yes. And then she got fired and then...
But, you know, not many people remember. She used to be on Good Morning America.
Yes, I remember
A long
that.
Time ago. And so then she went on the Regis show.
Yeah.
And then she just walked out or something. I mean, decided to give up the gig and do something else.
Yeah.
And, of course, everybody forgot about her. So now she's going to be on the Today Show. And it was a...
Shouldn't she be on now? Because I remember you saying something about this a little while back.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that they were planning on. Well, it's official now.
Now it's official.
Yeah, the headline says it's official. So she's going to be on for the fourth hour of the show. Now, I don't know if she still has an appeal. I don't know if people are still going to watch her. But she is kind of obnoxious.
I would much rather listen to Rosie O'Donnell than her.
Yeah. I mean, she was parading her kids in front of the media constantly.
Really?
Talking about them all the time. Oh, yeah. That's all she'd talk about.
Oh, she wants her kids to have fame because she ain't making it.
Yeah, exactly.
She ain't making it.
Yeah, living through her fucking kids, you know. And I think that's ugly. You know, you don't want to take advantage of your kids when they're that young. I mean, they were like babies, these kids.
Yeah.
And then you had to follow them growing up and stuff.
She left the show because she was having babies,
no,
right?
No. She'd already had them.
She already had them?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's not why she left. So, she used to be a hot piece of ass. I don't know what she'd look like now, but...
I don't know.
It's a pretty good picture of
her. For some reason.
But do you remember that her husband got caught with this flight attendant screwing around in a hotel?
No.
Yeah, that was like a big deal. You know, Frank Gifford is her husband, and he's a lot older than she is. I don't know how old, what the age difference is between them. But he used to be a football player, a professional football player, and then he became an announcer for football games on Monday Night Football.
Right.
So, and then they got married. He married her. And, you know, he sort of became obscure. Nobody heard of him or anything. And then one day he was outed by the press or something. Somebody saw him going to a hotel, and they figured he's having an affair with his flight attendant. So Kathy Lee has to find out from the fucking media about this shit. Can you imagine how terrible that would be? So people have made fun of this for years.
Wow.
And I feel bad for her. I mean, that's got to be awful. You know, it's got to be awful.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be true.
I mean, what does it say about you? You know, your husband totally doesn't give a shit about you. And I don't understand about these famous people who know they're going to be followed by the press. So why would they fucking do that?
Yeah.
You know? But they do, because people think with their dicks. And I told you that many times before, and I don't think you have to be a genius to realize that, you know? Look at Spitzer. Look at all these people, these assholes. You know, the guy with the bathroom and with the gay. I mean, the gay congressman that was caught in the airport bathroom and shit. Remember?
Right, right.
You know, that stuff. I mean, people just do fucking shit and they think they're gonna get away with it.
You know? Beware, Big Brother is always watching.
Yeah. Now, another big news that's affecting the stock market and everybody, I mean, these are like big headlines, is that the Fed, the Federal Reserve, which is responsible really for our financial system, you know, they lend money to banks, they determine interest rates and so forth. So they're trying to give themselves more power, but they're trying to really get control of the situation. The thing is, these changes are the most revolutionary since the Depression era. So you know that they're being serious now because they feel we're heading towards serious times. You know,
we're already there. Times.
Yeah, but I mean, it could get worse, obviously.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, the average person, I think, for the most part, is not feeling it yet. But we'll feel the pinch. You know, obviously, homeowners and shit, yeah. But the average person, I mean, I'm not really feeling we're in a recession right now. I'm sure we're going to feel it more. But right now, it's sort of like, so they're trying to stop this. And, you know, those sweeping changes are really unprecedented.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, on the one hand, you're afraid to give the government more power. On the other hand, you figure they're the only ones who can probably do something about the economy.
Right.
You know, so that's a big deal today. And I guess,
well, they owe China trillions of dollars. So.
Yeah. Who owes China trillions of dollars?
America.
Well, everybody owes everybody.
America.
But, yeah. But this caused Wall Street to go into chaos, pretty much. That's what this says here. So, I mean, I would imagine, I can understand when there's so much uncertainty. You don't know what these changes mean.
No.
You just know that this is going to change things and people are getting really nervous. All I can tell you is I'm not buying any fucking stock right now. Let things cool off a little bit.
I wouldn't buy stock in the first place.
Why?
Or even if I did buy stock,
uh-huh.
I'd put it in there at whatever and just
forget about it. Yeah. Well, you know, that's what I was going to do with Google, and then it went up so much.
You couldn't help yourself.
No, my new look. the stock went up $200, and then it starts going all the way down and below that. You're going to fucking sell it before you lose anything because you can see the trend here. So,
oh, nice.
I mean, yeah, so I said I'm going to keep it long term, but at the same time, I'm not stupid, you know?
No, you just leave it.
No, you don't. You wait until the stock is cheaper. You buy it again at less, you know?
Yeah.
So, but you have to, to at least have a good feeling that it's going to go up. And right now, there's just too much commotion going on.
Yeah.
It's too tumultuous for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I've never played that game.
Yeah.
I'd rather not give companies my money. At least I try not to. They've already fucked me over.
Well, you're not doing it to give the money. You're doing it to make some money. But
yeah, but you don't have control over it.
No, of course not. But, you know, I mean, higher risk, higher return. You know, I mean, you don't want any risk. Keep your money in the bank at 3% or something and see if that helps. You know, but when you have a chance to make 200% on your money.
I never have enough money in the bank to make anything. Is it like, you know how you get that letter? Interest gained or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A dollar something. Because I've overdrafted my account.
Yeah.
I have never experienced overdrafts like I have here in America.
Oh, yeah?
Never. I never lived paycheck to paycheck back home.
Manu, but look, you changed your career aspirations too. I mean, look, you decided...
I wasn't really doing anything back home either.
Oh.
You know? Seriously, I wasn't. I was doing the same thing, actually, more or less. I was doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we just... I don't know. We don't have all this extra stuff that we have to worry about, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing that I was just being reminded of, because I did have a couple of guests on Friday that were from Australia.
Right.
And it was kind of really cool to, like, talk to them, which has emptied me, you know, about all this other stuff that we were discussing earlier on. Because they're saying that, everything's doing really well back home. In fact, you know, we're still in the, black? In the black with our government debt and so on and all this kind of stuff.
Not in the red, yeah.
We're definitely not in the red. And then also, of course, we got the pay rise. You know, I mean, like, my God, you know, 1980. But they ended up doing work because, see, in Australia, you're at 15. You can leave school and go into an apprenticeship. And what we call an apprenticeship is like a four-year school, either to be a electrician or a plumber or a hairdresser or any of those trade kind of jobs.
Right.
And the government actually pays for that.
Mm.
So for people even to become a chef and so on. So you do a four-year apprenticeship, which is really cool. So you work at a job, you're under apprenticeship, and you get paid weekly. To do an apprenticeship, yeah.
Nice.
So, so you don't have this. How would you say? At 15, that's what you're gonna do. I mean, that's what you're gonna do. I mean, you know, both my brothers. One became a diesel and general mechanic, and the other one became a machinist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a engineering machinist and so on. You know what I mean? And they do that through a technical school. As soon as you leave at 15, you go into that. But I think you can go into a school like that even after high school. But you get paid.
But as soon as
you turn 18, you get paid more money. I think it's at 18 now, you go to minimum wage like $19.80 an hour.
Cool.
Which is kind of, it is really cool.
Yep. Okay, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting live from high atop the BBS Talk Radio building, you're listening to the Sam and Manu Show. All right, enough of the music. Let's get back to California Dreaming. California Dreaming. With your host, Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back, Manu.
We are.
Yeah, did you find our guest?
Well, she found us
more
than anything.
Good. Okay, so we're back, and we have a special guest in the in the studio. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And name is Pam.
Right.
Okay, introduce yourself, Pam.
Okay, I'm Pam Monroe, and I'm here, I guess, to talk about the recession and coping with the recession.
Uh-huh. Okay. We were just discussing that.
Yeah.
Because it's a big, that's a big, topic nowadays.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I've been doing this for many years, but it wasn't very fashionable.
But now it is.
But now it is.
Because everybody needs to be clued in.
Yeah, and they don't know how.
No, they don't. They have no idea.
They have no idea. But I have been doing it for many, many years.
Yeah.
Because of it. Yeah, well, being a starving artiste, I had to learn how to do it.
And what kind of artist are you?
Well, I'm primarily an actress.
Oh. Wow.
But I also did music.
So we understand the situation. An actress means not rich unless
you're not rich.
Right.
But you need unless to have nice stuff. See, that's
right.
That's the dichotomy. You know, you've come down here and you do get, you have no money, but you're invited to these really swanky things every once in a while. And you want to look like you belong there. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And how long have you lived in L.A.?
Almost 30 years.
Wow. That's a long time. So you've seen the city grow and everything.
Yeah. I live in Hollywood, which has changed a lot.
Nice. And so you act where? In theater, movies?
Well, for years I did a lot of 99-seat theater. You know, I produced it and everything. But now I've become a character woman, so I've had a resurgence, and I did this little pirate movie, which has a kind of cult status, apparently.
Oh, what's it called?
Called Jolly Roger Massacre at Cutter's Cove.
God, I know that
you
movie.
You know the movie? I was in that movie.
Yeah.
I'm the woman who gets her head cut, her arm cut off, you know, all the blood.
Yeah.
That's me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Holy cow.
So that's
how
so
pleasant.
That's,
yeah,
silly.
She does horror films, too.
You
she's
do
been,
horror films, too?
Yeah. She's been
and
mutilated in movies,
and it's,
too.
It's cult, yeah. It's
and
a
you work for
cult.
Asylum?
No.
No. These, yeah. Well, anyway, so this movie, which I thought was witty, and I like pirates, and it turned out to, you know, now has legs. Who knew that that little movie would have? I mean, we did a good job.
Yeah.
But it was amusing, and now if you Google it, you find little commentaries in Czechoslovakia. And there's a German website that has a blow-by-blow description of the plot of the movie as if it were, I don't know, you know, an opera or something.
Yeah.
It's so. Yeah. That's,
you're really warm, huh? You're sweating. Do you want to take a moment and take off your jacket or something?
No, I just.
I mean, I want you to be comfortable.
I hiked up here, so.
Oh, I see. Yes. That's what happened.
Like
is it getting warm
outside? It's warm outside. Yeah.
Really?
It's warm outside.
Because it was freezing this morning and last night. It was really, really
was
freezing,
cold,
like
but
in
the
40s.
As the sun goes up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's California for you.
That's California. The weather changes every minute.
Yeah, so you always have to be prepared.
Yeah, yeah. So how you want to talk about the recession and frugality, I understand, and that sort of thing, which is very relevant, I guess, these days. So what point do you want to touch on?
Well, one of the things my philosophy of that, it was not, people always think of it as this kind of, I know in the old days they called it cheese pairing. You know, it's really, you know, rubbing pennies together and you have nothing and you know, you're stingy and you have no fun. And that's never been my way of looking at it. For me, it was that I lived on a very limited income and I want to figure out to get the things that I wanted in a different way.
Right.
So theater tickets and, you know, going to the opera and clothes and perfume, things that I wanted, but I couldn't just go to a store and pay retail. As Woody Allen said somewhere along the line that the biggest sin in his family was paying retail.
Oh,
that's
I like
sin,
that one.
Yeah,
yeah, paying retail. Yeah. So, and especially in a major city like this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much in terms of wardrobe. If you're not well dressed, you're not looking. You know, you're not making any effort, because what with the garment district and all that stuff, plus the fact there are all these rich people wear clothes once and then...
And then put them in the Goodwill
and
store.
And then
that's where I go to the Goodwill.
Yeah, they have stores and, you know, they have new merchandise. They're importers and you can get new things that have never been worn before, at the end of lots of boutiques and all kinds of stuff like
that. Manu Lek's clothes have been worn quite a bit, you know.
Well, but I have
I'm kidding.
Found, oh, okay. Oh. No. I mean, like, I got this skirt. I got this skirt from Goodwill. I love it.
You look beautiful. You should be the spokesmodel for Goodwill. Do a commercial for
secondhand stores.
Yeah. Well, there's a wonderful Salvation Army in Pasadena.
In Pasadena?
Yeah, near Fair Oaks. Mm-hmm. There's some great... Because the rich... You want to go where there are rich people.
Right.
So, who are making... good donations.
I see. Okay. So that makes sense. Maybe I'll start shopping there too. You know, I mean, you might find some great bargains, right, Manu?
I've actually gotten a couple of really great, nice suits.
Great.
From you know, from Goodwill.
Yeah.
You know, because I've gone to the stores that are in the you know, richer areas, so to speak, the more pronounced. And there you have people who just throw away their money. They go and buy something, they wear it once or twice, and then they toss it out. They give it to Goodwill or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or they order things.
If they're not hoarders, of course.
Yeah, but the other thing that you find a lot is that, caveat, is that things that are the wrong size. So people go and don't try things on, or they order them in catalogs and don't try them on.
Oh, yeah.
And they're... So there, you have to watch the size, because a lot of, for example, size shoes that are... I have size 7s to 9s, because some of them, you know, they're marked 9, and they're really small. They're more like 8s. And so people, they've never been worn because they're the wrong size.
I would never buy anything from a catalog. See, that's the big thing, you know, like in the catalogs.
Yeah.
There goes your credit card information. There goes the access to, you know... For unexcusable spending.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, obviously, you don't want to buy from a catalog. You don't buy any clothes without trying them on. I mean, you know, the sizes don't mean anything.
No, they'd mean nothing at all.
You know, because every company, every brand is, you know, the size is treated differently, you know?
Yeah.
So.
In Europe, they're apparently a little more standard, but not here.
Mm, yeah. So, and also depends, I guess, on the. And the cut of the pants
Absolutely.
Or the shirt and so
Absolutely.
Forth, you know, that determines
and
it.
And how you wear things.
So do men go through that too?
Yeah.
Having determined, okay, oh, well, shit, I was a 40, no, let's say a 36, 38.
Right.
And then another pair of pants you're trying on, they're like a 34.
36
and then
or 38, that's pretty big. Yeah, that's fat, man.
Well, no, but not for a woman it isn't.
Well, well, I wear a 31.
Yeah, 31.
I wear a 31.
31 is not heavy, but you know, you get into 36, 38
in men's pants.
In men's, yeah. I wear about 32, 33.
What?
Yeah. What?
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I would say 34.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
But some I have that are 32s. Believe it or not.
There you go.
Well, I put it below my belly, so.
Oh, see, men cheat.
Yeah.
And they put it below
men
the belly.
Men cheat.
So tell us other ways that we can save money on a daily basis. The way, how do you do it? I mean, what about like groceries, things like this, and you know, the stuff you need every day? Is there a way to save money?
Well, where
on that?
We live, you know, we live in L.A. Against there are all these great little discount outlets and. For one thing, we have the 99-cent stores, yay! And for all kinds of, you know, household things,
mm-hmm.
Paper towels, napkins, Kleenex,
toilet paper,
and they have great sauces, believe it or not.
Yeah, they do.
So
and they have
sauce.
Herbs. They have all different kind of herbs.
And
have you ever been to a 99-cent store, Sam?
Once, yeah. Just
right.
once.
I mean, like, you can buy, like all your household items, like really awesome... You know, stuff for cleaning, brooms, you know, just
no,
stuff like that.
No, cleaning supplies. It's great. Because, you know, otherwise, every time you move, if you move someplace, you go someplace, and, you know, you spend $40 doesn't buy a lot in the drugstore. It really doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
But
no.
If you buy, spend $40 at the 99-cent store, you get
quite a bit,
all this
huh?
stuff. Yeah.
The only thing I wouldn't buy at a 99-cent store is anything like meats or milk or eggs.
They don't have meats.
They
don't have
meat.
They do. Really?
Now. They have cold cuts, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is... The problem that you would be facing there is there's no way I would buy the milk or the eggs or the meat because I see it coming from very cheap cuts or unprotected animals, inhumane
or they're,
kind
you
of
know,
thing.
Or they've been sitting, you know, it's you have to worry about expiration dates.
Yeah.
So that's not, you know, and they try to, you know, they try to take care of it. And then now they have produce even, so...
Yeah.
So, which is, and some of the deals on the bananas and things like that are really good.
Hmm.
But I certainly buy all my loo paper there.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, if you
and paper towels and even sparkling mineral waters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like really, that you would pay almost $2.
Right.
Sometimes even more from a regular store. You know, the nice geyser sparkling mineral waters, flavored mineral waters.
Right.
I buy that all there
at
a 99-cent store.
They have all kinds of weird. They have.
Yep. But there's also like little stores, like Armenian owned stores,
yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
And so on.
Right.
And they
the
have
produce is really cheap there, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And even some of their other stuff, and you get to explore different, unique. Yeah. You know, foods as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you can get a lot. They have wonderful pastries.
Yeah.
They
yeah,
have
Armenian
they do.
Pastries. They have these little bakeries. And, or even in
yeah,
little
the
grocery
stores. Yeah, the baklava and
these
things.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful. All sorts
these
of things.
These are great things.
I know,
like
I have
that.
To stay away from that area. Yeah. But their cheeses, their sausages, you know what I mean? Like your salamis, mm-hmm. everything like that. Even particularly the cheeses.
Yeah, fish, yeah.
It's all inexpensive
yeah.
and very
fresh.
Fresh.
Yeah.
Olives. They have olives and
oh,
grapes.
Yeah,
a lot of Greek
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a wonderful spread that there's like a caviar spread. It's a Greek caviar spread that has caviar in it.
Oh wow, that sounds
kalmata.
Nice.
Oh,
I'm getting hungry, man.
And it's sort of special, nice. You know. So if you have to go someplace, you can bring this caviar spread in.
Did you know that American Airlines saved a little over $40,000 a year for taking one olive off their salads in first class?
Really?
I'm not kidding.
Wow.
One olive.
Yeah. Yeah. You
and
see
and my thought was, well, they didn't go to that little store that I buy my olives from.
No. Well, see, that's the whole point. They can't get them in big lots like that.
Yeah, I know.
And it's the other thing. The thing about those stores is that you have to be sort of a... to a degree work on impulse, because it may not be, if you don't buy it now, it may not be there. So there is a little danger with that sometimes.
Yeah.
But
no, I buy as I need it, and I'm very particular. I'll buy my milk from Trader Joe's, because believe mm-hmm. it or not, my milk from Trader Joe's is less expensive than I would pay at Albertsons or Gelson's and so on.
Oh yeah.
So I pick certain things.
Yeah.
And even if I have to go to from one store to the other, I will do that. I will actually do
really?
That. Yeah. To like because of the price is so different.
And and what if so? But you save some money that way.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
You do.
Right.
Well, the other thing is my for various reasons I have some students of mine, part of my other life, out in Calabasas on Sunday nights. It's really interesting. My husband goes with me, and we've gotten into the habit of we go grocery shopping out there on Sunday nights.
Really?
Because on Sunday nights, everything they have slash everything because they're trying to get rid of all the things from the week
for the new week.
Wow.
For the
stuff
new week
coming in.
Yeah, for the new week.
Good thinking.
And he just got. I mean, he got a big couple of pounds of salmon, and it was. No, I don't know, a dollar a pound or something. And he said to the fish man, why? Why is it so cheap?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, it was packed wrong. So.
It was packed wrong?
Yeah.
That was it? It was packed
it was,
wrong?
That's what he said. It was packed wrong.
Well, they have certain standards, Manu, you know, and if they don't, then, you know, just like we talked about those discount clothing stores like Ross and Marshall's, you know, where... They, you know, I mean, if there's a pair of Levi's or something, and it's just like one thread is not in the right
second.
Place,
yeah,
then they'll sell it to you for half the price or even less.
Jeez.
Yeah, very interesting. So, I mean, do you shop at those places too for clothes? Or
yeah, some, you know, although I think those places are expensive.
I think they are too.
Get, but I mean, you get stuff for like clothes for like $10-$20 a piece, and
I still
brand
think
new.
That's kind of expensive.
Yeah, well, really? It depends upon. You know, it's good for things like jeans
mm-hmm.
and things like that that you're going to wear a lot, and that you want to have some variety of looking at.
Right.
I look at the sales there,
mm-hmm.
and it's also good for things like presents.
Mm.
They have nice present
that's
kind
true.
Of things, you know.
Oh, and I'll buy my sheets there, but that's it. I'll buy sheets or rug or like you said, a gift or something like that.
Yeah, because they have these nice little kind of tchotchkes. I don't know.
All sorts of things in there.
Lots of tchotchkes
you know,
there.
Well, you know, they have like, and they also have bed and bath things.
Mm-hmm.
Although around Hollywood, there's so many, I guess, performers that that's always fished out. But I was back east in New Jersey, and they had, you know, they had all the cosmetics and bed and bath stuff, and I bought a whole bunch of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So now, what other things do you? What do you do, like, as far as driving and stuff? Your car, maintaining your car. Is there a way to save money that way?
Wow.
Well, I'm very lucky. I have a wonderful neighborhood mechanic in Hollywood that I've been using for years and years and years and years, mm-hmm. called. I'll give them a plug. C&R Tires. It mm-hmm. sounds like a tire people, but they're really mechanics. Mm-hmm. And they're really, they're very reasonable because they're not like American mechanics who'll just take the part out and throw it away.
Mm. So they fix the part.
They fix things, yeah. Or yeah. sometimes they get, if they can get a used part, and they're very reasonable, and they will tell you, well, you need to fix this now, mm-hmm. and you can wait to fix that later.
Yeah.
And come back, you know. And if it makes a sound, and then you come back. And as a result, I've been a customer of theirs for years.
Yeah.
For years.
C&R
Tires? C&R
Tires
on Western Avenue.
On Western Avenue. I'm trying to think where that is.
Just below.
Not
between
the best
Hollywood,
area here.
Between Hollywood and Sunset.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that part of Western is right near the...
No, it's a nice area.
Yeah, it's getting better and better.
It. Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
It's getting... It used to be, years ago, that was really seedy, but they were all like a red light district, yeah. but it's
well,
not anymore.
You start heading south on west, and then then it starts getting like a little weird.
Very South American.
Yeah. yeah.
Now, from what I understand, you put some stuff online of things?
I have a blog.
Okay.
That's at myfrugallife.com, and you look at Pam's Penny Pinching with Style.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
And that there's a mother site, actually, if you're interested in learning about frugality from the heartland, called thriftyfun.com, in which all these ladies, mostly, from the heartland talk about. I mean, they really are pinching pennies. They're talking about how can I make my own soap for the dishwasher, you know,
yeah.
that sort of thing. And, you know, how can I treat my dog for parvo? They have a lot of... parvo kind of things. I didn't even know what parvo was. You know.
What is parvo?
I have some kind of disease of dogs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, I've heard of it, I think.
Yeah.
Well,
figured out how to get rid of fleas, mm-hmm. you know, like just by using tea tree oil and Earl Grey mm-hmm. tea leaf. And you steep it, you know, like for a long time until the tea is really black.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just put my cats in the bathtub, and I just pour it over, rub it into their
really?
Fur Whoops. And everything like that.
Yeah.
Kills the fleas, man.
See, I would
They're
think
gone.
If you put the cat in the microwave for a couple of minutes, yeah. the fleas would
no.
die.
No, yeah,
they
would not. The cat wouldn't.
Oh, the cat wouldn't make it?
The cat would make it.
I see, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
No, too much.
Yeah. So much for my ideas.
And then same with, you know, like scrubbing the bathroom. I use vinegar and baking soda.
Yeah.
And same, you know, like in the washer, I buy one dishwashing liquid and then I dilute it with some water.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people's habit is by they're pouring a whole bunch of soap, it's unnecessary
yeah,
soap.
Yeah, you don't need it.
You know what I mean? So I actually buy one and divide it by two.
Yeah. You can do that with shampoo too. I mean, you really
yeah,
don't need
that
much
that
shampoo.
Too. Yeah.
As you can.
Yeah, and toothpaste too, I think. People overuse toothpaste, I think.
Oh, you know what?
I know you're much. Probably right.
They put way too much.
Way
know?
Too much, and yeah. got all this shit.
You don't need to put, like, on the whole length of the brush, you know. I think.
No, you just need
a little
dab.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Well, I'm very proud of myself because I went to the dentist, and I hadn't, various reasons, I hadn't gotten around to cleaning my teeth, so I've been cleaning my teeth myself very efficiently, and I've been using actually salt and baking soda to brush my teeth with because it's slightly abrasive. And
salt and baking soda.
Salt and baking soda, half an
hour. And what does it taste like? I mean,
like
it's got to be, yeah.
It tastes like salt and baking soda.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, if you have trouble with your blood pressure or something, I suppose. But, I don't know, it doesn't bother me.
You know, like with perfumes? Once upon a time, I think I did used to, buy perfumes. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know why I started, but anyways, that's all gone now because I won't pay the money for perfumes. And what I do is I actually buy essential oils.
Oh, you do that. Mm-hmm.
And then I just combine a couple that, you know, suit me, that I love the smell of, and I use that as my fragrance if necessary.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I do not wear, I don't wear underarm or or perfumes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Nature Girl.
Now I understand why it smells here every day, and I haven't figured it out
no.
yet.
Oh no!
Damn.
See, but the other clue about all of this is that you don't. Although it's gotten, being green is sort of trendy, so that one can be more open about it. That for many years I had to keep all of this a secret. I didn't tell anyone. So certain things to certain people, you say nothing because they'll give you a hard time, and you don't want that, and it's none of their business where you're getting your stuff.
Well, what I use is a body scrub. Mm-hmm. I actually use salt and honey. So I combine salt and honey, mm-hmm. and I use that as a body polisher.
And that's supposed to be good for that.
And it's supposed to be really good for your skin. Hmm. So that's what I use instead of going to the store paying, $15, $20-something for like a really nice body salt or something like that.
You can make a lot of those things.
Yeah.
Although I also have a tendency to, I mix and I match and I get lots of samples. And that's the other thing now with the internet. I mean, you can send for all these little samples of things. And
that's true, yeah. Yeah.
Samples of eye cream and samples of...
Yeah, and they still have them at all the drugstores and stuff. They have a lot of samples and stuff.
But you have to pay $1 for that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
To pay $1 for that. Yeah. They have these little sample sizes where you...
They send them for free.
They send them for free.
Wow.
And it's very good if you're traveling.
Yeah.
We have a boat. I'm Ventura. And so I take things that I bring with me.
I use aloe vera gel. Aloe vera gel and jojoba oil.
Yeah?
Yeah. And that's what I use for my skin.
Oh.
For creams.
Nice. You see, so you're both creative here.
And yeah,
I would imagine you spend most of Sunday...
I grow my aloe vera gel.
Oh.
My aloe vera plants, I've got so many aloe vera
plants,
you're
it's
not
growing
funny.
Them.
Wow. Yeah, and I just go out, snap it off, and put it on the face.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. So you must spend some time on Sundays cutting coupons out of the paper and stuff like that.
I used to do that. I don't do that anymore.
How is that? I mean, that would save you a lot of money.
Because I very rarely buy brand.
Oh, that's right.
Brand name stuff like that. I generally buy more generic.
Right.
And so unless it's a specific kind of thing, usually it's not worthwhile.
Right.
For me, I used to do it a lot, but I don't do it very much anymore.
Yeah. So the coupons are sort of like... for people between the ones that have too much money and the ones that don't
have. Yeah, if you're going to buy brand
stuff. They're going to be frugal.
Although restaurant coupons are good. I like the
restaurant
coupons.
Are all right. But I find that in those coupons that you find to go to shopping centers and so on, it's stuff that you don't necessarily mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, here, buy this. Yeah. Here. And you don't really need it.
Yeah. Well, that's the point.
Because it's on a coupon, you think, ooh, I'm going to save some money.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I mean, I like when you go to like a place and they double your coupon's value. I mean, that... like you go to Ralph's or something, you have a coupon for $1, you get $2 off. That's not anything to sneeze at. I mean, that's pretty good.
Well, it depends upon what's important to you. I think all of this is about choices.
Yeah.
And if you like brand XYZ cereal and it makes you happy, then by all means get the coupon for it. And get the, that's also sometimes it's sold out. But, if you really makes you start your day and you really like it and that's important to you, then you can spend money on it. But there are things that are not important. I mean, I've never spent a lot of money on on cars. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know there's a big car fetish in L.A., but...
Yeah.
No, here?
No. But it's, to have a car, I mean, I don't know what with all the, it's like a bumper cars here. Everybody's always, running into each other in parking lots and their bumps and their nicks and their dents. And if you had, it would drive you crazy.
Yeah.
To drive that kind of car around L.A. if you had to worry about it. I mean, it would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
And it's also having a sign around your neck saying, hello, I'm a rich person.
Yeah.
Well, follow me.
But not necessarily. I mean, a lot of these people that I know who have these really expensive cars don't have the income source to even pay for the damn thing.
Are they leasing them?
Well, no. They're just like, it's more important for them
to have
a really nice car versus... other responsibilities. Do you know what I mean? You got like, okay, I was talking to my Armenian friend who I run into a lot at Coffee Bean. He's there all the time, right? But him and everybody, every other one of his mates, they all own like really obnoxiously expensive cars. And, yeah. You know, one day I was just sitting there and I was just like, and he was looking at me. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what, I have a question for you and you have to answer me honestly because this just blows my mind.
Yeah.
What is it that you guys are doing that you're driving around in these really expensive cars? And he laughed and he said something to his boys, you know, in yeah. Armenian, and they all like laughed and they all like, a couple of them at one time, they said, "Now we all live together. We all still live with our moms.
Yes.
Yeah, our families.
Yes. Go.
I don't have any bills or anything to yes. worry about. So all their money goes to the cars.
Yeah, so they spent $3,000 a month on a car.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're living in the back bedroom.
Yeah. I mean, and that happens a lot in
yeah,
LA, you know, because
does.
People feel they have to impress. You know, a yeah. car here is like your clothes, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is you have to have an appearance when you're on the roads here.
Yeah.
And that's why we have such a car culture, and that's why so many people or car makers, they come here and they test their new cars here.
Right.
Because this is where it's happening.
You know? Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think a
well,
car is
power.
Like...
they
like,
don't get far.
Like your clothes, you know?
No.
If they come and test the cars here.
Yeah.
Well, you can get out of town.
Well, but even if you get out of town, it's not necessarily... That's only where you can test the cars. Just go out in the middle of the desert.
Yeah. Oh, you could go up in Ventura. There are places up in Ventura.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could go zoom, zoom, zoom,
no,
zoom.
No, but they want to, I mean, they test them to see if the market likes them, you
yeah.
know, not
oh,
so much
right,
how fast
right,
they're going.
Right, right,
yeah.
right. I see, I yeah. see. Okay.
Yeah,
all right,
because,
fair enough.
Yeah, because if they figure if Southern California likes it, we're the rest of the world would like it.
Because
that's usually the case.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're trendsetters.
There you go.
But see, I'm a girl, so I prefer clothes to cars.
Yeah, okay. Well, that sounds
I
good
always
to
felt
me.
Even when I had a beater car, I would go to like the Beverly Hills Hotel and park around the corner.
Me too.
And walk in.
Yeah.
Me too.
Well, who wants to pay $20-$30 for valet, you know?
Well,
I
it's
mean,
not.
Totally
and, well, it's
yeah.
that too, but you
but
don't want to have your car show up there.
Yeah.
Oh, I see, with your car.
No, I'm serious. Yeah. I went to the Beverly Hills Hotel like on a number of weekends ago, and I was supposed to be there for an event. Well, I thought the event was there,
right.
at least. You know what I mean? So I thought, well, and I was told that I could go into valet, and valet would be, you know what I mean? Valets are paid for. It's like, oh, okay, cool. So I'm going up in the Beverly Hills Hotel, you know, like valet parking thing.
Right.
And I'm serious. I pulled up, and for about a minute, maybe a little bit more a minute, I'm sitting there. And even though I was still dressed up, right, the valet guys just stood there.
And
like,
sneered.
Like wondering, wondering yeah. like, so what does she want?
Yeah, who is this weirdo
yeah.
and what are we supposed to do
yeah.
with this piece of shit,
so
right?
So then I actually then wound down my window.
Yeah.
And I said, excuse me, but I'm here for this event, da-da-da, and I was told to come through valet. And they said, sorry, ma'am, there's no event like that here.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
So they lied to you?
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Wow. Just not to park.
The snobbery of them.
Because I had an old car.
Do you think they didn't think you'd tip them or something?
Well, truthfully, I had no fucking money to tip them.
Ah, yes.
So they were right, you see. They figured, why work hard if we're not going to get
the
tip?
Tip.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. You're any
probably but just then you anticipate that, though. Although the other thing is that there's a lot of, I don't say fat, but there's a lot of extra stuff hanging around Los Angeles. And if you are, but they'll only give it to people who don't need it.
Yeah.
Or don't seem to need it. I mean, there are all these, I mean, Hollywood parties and those kinds of parties are the best. I mean, they're wonderful. They have open bars. But you have to be in just, if you were a poor person, they wouldn't let you in. So part of the thing is that you can put yourself in situations. Well, they'll give you free champagne. Well, they'll give you stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And that you can take advantage of that side of capitalism, you know. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
so
yeah.
If you really look hard and you dig, you can find all these great bargains and
I do.
And
it
deals.
Is.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
No.
Yeah.
It's really not that hard. Once you understand, it's like, okay, you know, I know where to, shop to see, find this. I know where to go to find this.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I do need a mechanic. Because my car is just about to drop its ass on me.
Well, if you live anywhere near Hollywood, I recommend
I kind of do. I kind of do.
Those guys are really nice.
I kind of do.
All right. Well, maybe you can give her the number later. Yeah. And we can figure it out.
No, so I know exactly where you are. I actually thought it was a tire place.
Yeah, people think it's a tire place.
Yeah, but it's not. I know exactly where you are.
Yeah.
But so, but it's more, I think it's more the philosophy. Years ago, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and I went back east, and I was working in New York, and I found, I could get different, it was interesting, there were different outlets, but because I was thinking that way, I still found all the stuff. And it wasn't as if I had to go to a certain store. And because they always give you tips and they say, well, go to this store because it's that. And it's not so much that. It's that you have to have that mindset that, okay, I want to do it this way, but...
And not be lazy about it.
Not be conventional. I think that's the word.
Conventional. But do you find that some people could be like, well, I really don't want to go through the whole effort of trying to find...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they just rather go to a store. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a lot of people won't go to thrift stores.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to spend the time.
Looking.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Exactly.
But I do. I make sure I have the time because I have found some really bloody amazing stuff.
But you also...
including a couple of really nice evening dresses.
Oh, I have, all my designer things come from thrift stores.
Yeah.
I have a Bill Blass. I had a... I have some Stuart Weitzman shoes.
Can you believe I have a Vera Wang? I have a Vera Wang dress. From a thrift store that I paid $12 for.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I have.
See, well, showing that one person's garbage is another person's dinner,
well,
right?
Well, also, I had something
that's what this is about.
That I Bill Blass dress, and the only reason from a thrift shop, and the only reason it had an organza top, and it still had the tag on it from Saks Fifth Avenue, but the seam, because it was sort of bottom heavy, and the seam at the top of the organza top had gone. But it took, 5 minutes and a little bit of brown thread, and it was fine. It had never been worn.
I want to buy a sewing machine.
Yeah, what are you going to do with a sewing machine?
You fix things.
And I
can sew, so I can sew things too. And I should be looking more into that. I remember I sewed a lot when I was in Sydney. And, like just pants and shirts, just like loose fitting stuff, like stuff. And then my girlfriend and I, they'd have markets every weekend, throughout Sydney. And then we'd go to the markets and sell our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even like sarongs. We would buy, really inexpensive material, edge some sarongs, and we'd just sell these sarongs or pants or tops or whatever.
Nice.
But it's coming back. Okay. There's a whole do-it-yourself now kind of trend thing happening, and there's a great site on the internet called Threadbangers.
Threadbangers? Really?
Threadbangers. www.threadbangers.com, which I love because it's all about making your own clothes and reconstructing things. There's a lot of taking clothes and taking them apart. How you can felt sweaters and make hats and mittens out of them. And all kinds, and some knitting and some sewing, and it's all very, very interesting. I'm sort of crafty, Threadbangers, isn't a great name? Yeah. It's very, they're punky. They're now all living in Brooklyn.
Wow, that sounds kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, well, that's apparently the new hip place in New York. Everybody is living in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Our call-in number, 818-602-4498. And is there anything else that we should know?
Oh, I have a couple of articles I've written for Associated Content about penny-pinching issues, about what I've written about self-care for flu and colds and... another way you can save yourself money. And I've written about, an art collection and freebies. And so I have about 3 or 4 articles on there. And then I have my blog. And I'm working on getting myself together to work on my book.
Oh, nice.
I'm finally going to write my book.
Is that on frugality also?
Years ago I tried to sell it to somebody, but frankly, nobody was interested. and now I've been doing this, and I was also a columnist for a while, a budget columnist in a local newspaper. And but now the people are retiring, and there are some economic crunches, and there's more interest in just that whole way of living than there used to be.
And I imagine, especially today, since we have a looming recession here, and we're going to have to start living a little frugally, I guess.
Well, you know, probably a little bit more than what we're used to.
Yeah.
Well, some people are used to, too. I mean, and some people are really not. Well, for example, my my niece, who I hope, I don't know if she's listening anyway, for example, she was going to her prom, and I said, well, come to visit me in Los Angeles, and I have a friend who's a stylist and is in the fashion business. We'll go down to the garment district, and we can get you all fitted out.
Yeah.
You know, very frugally.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't do it. She instead went to a department store, mm-hmm. and paid, you know, full price for this dress, which is, you know, not, you know, nothing to. I wasn't impressed by it anyway, and well, she could have gotten the whole outfit for less than $100, and. And I was thinking to myself, well, she plans to be a school teacher. And I think to myself, well, my God, how in heaven's name? She can't, she won't be able to do that on that kind of a salary. You just...
No.
You can't do that.
No,
so,
you can't.
So there are, you know, some people are going to have these hard lessons to learn. And there are ways to get around that, but you have to... Use your head. You have to living by your wits. There's a reason they talk about.
I think the young generation, which I'm actually concerned about, because I do think about this randomly. You've got this young generation growing up with bombardment by this mm-hmm. for your kids. Everything's all aimed towards the kids because then it forces the parents to purchase all this stuff for the children, especially when it comes to school, having to wear the right get-up at school to fit in and so on.
Right.
And then the children, when they get into, you know, their employment years, all of a sudden, they're going to have no money. And so then they get, like you go to college, and the first thing that they do on campus, I've been to on-campus colleges, and they've got all these stamps for credit cards. And things like that.
Really?
Yeah. And so, it, you know, on top of their school loans that they have to pay back, now they've got one or two or even three credit cards that they're going out and spending because they're so used to being in tune of getting what they want.
Right. When they want it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When they want it,
right.
That's what they're doing. And they're not used to... thinking like, wow, I have to be very careful of what I buy. I can't do this anymore. I can't mm-hmm. buy that anymore because I don't have the support of my parents anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So, I mean, that's becomes a an interesting, yeah. It's like I've never seen so many students in debt. So it's like I know a couple of people that are like, you know, 100,000 or more
in
debt, including their school loans, of course.
Including, yes, which are terrible.
Which is just shocking.
Which is just terrible. And you never can get out from them.
Ever. No, you can't.
There's no way of escaping the student loan people.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, Pam, you've been very informative. I mean, we learned a couple of things that I didn't really know.
Oh,
and,
we could go on.
I'm going to start feeling frugal as soon as I get out of here, I guess. After the show, give us your links so we can put them on our website
okay.
so people can read your blog and everything. I'm sure it's very interesting. Do you have any website where we... So you haven't published the book yet, but you will.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, okay. You better get yourself a good domain name so you can have a website for the book before somebody steals it.
I have to do that. Ooh.
Yeah. So,
oh no.
So Pat Monroe, actress, expert on frugality, taught us how to save some money. And live through the hard times. We really appreciate you coming
it's
fun. Pam. And we'll...
You're listening to California Dreaming with your hosts, Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
So that was our guest talking about saving money. And, you know, I don't know. I think I'm just spoiled, you know. I mean, I was raised always with the best and new stuff and that. So I'm, like, really spoiled, you know. I mean, I have to have a brand new car and new clothes and new this, new that, you know. And I know I'm spoiled, but...
My gosh.
You know, I mean, you only live
once. If I get a new piece of clothing, I'm ecstatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, woohoo, yay, but, you know. And the only thing that, of course, that I don't get secondhand or something like that is my underwear or bras. Hence, that's why I don't have much. I mean, I know this is going to sound bloody awful, but I still have underwear that I bought from Seattle.
Really?
Because well, I haven't had any money. Okay, I haven't bought any underwear.
When your birthday comes up, I'm going to take you shopping at Victoria's Secret or something. Okay? You can buy all the underwear you need.
But, I mean, it's sometimes, you know, sometimes I think, God, I wish I could just, you know, earn, you know, money so that I could, you know, like, and when I think about it, so that I can buy myself new underwear, so that I can fix my car. It's not about getting a new car. It's about I want to be able to fix my car.
Right.
I want to, you know, I mean, just like little simple things. You know what I mean? Taking care of the simple things.
Yeah.
So that I could live life more simple.
Yeah. No, I mean, that makes sense. Look, the thing is this, is that you made a lifestyle choice and you decided, okay, my profession is an actress, which means there's a lot of downtime. So then you have to, you see, so you're not devoting all your time to a career, which is, you know, what someone else would do, someone who's not an actor. So you would expect them to make more money than you, you know, because you're just, you know, you just want to pay the bills until the next gig.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But I mean, but I understand, Sam, I haven't been, you know, since I've been here in the U.S., my work that I have done, like up in Seattle, I was a car salesperson, you know, a car sales assistant and everything like that. I wasn't making bucks. You know what I mean? I still wasn't able to buy a new car or anything like that.
Yeah. No, I understand. But with selling cars, you have to be a real star.
No, yeah.
You have to be a star. I mean, the stars make a lot of money, but very few of them.
Same with also finding, you know, working in the casinos, you know, the only time that I started making some real money, you know, what I would consider real money, which is really not that much compared to what I used to earn back home,
if
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I did buy a house, but of course the market screwed that up, you know, but I did have a little bit more money to spend.
Yeah.
But I still did not go out and buy new clothes and this and that. Basically, it was just more focusing on paying off the credit card bills to remodel my house, which I did.
Yeah.
I did all that. I took care of stuff so that I could start living much more simple and to the basics.
I see.
I don't get into fancy stuff and all that kind of stuff.
Did you know that cell phones could be more dangerous to you than cigarettes? That's what they just found out.
They can cook your brain.
Yeah. They said
you ever wonder why your ears feels like it's on fire?
Well, I don't know, but they're saying in 10 years you can more than double your risk of brain cancer.
Do you know kids, children these days, and I think I read this somewhere, but the risk of children having cancerous cells and brain tumors from cell phone use is way more. Like, I mean, the percentage of increase of that is beyond what it should be. I mean, seriously, because of cell phone use. And because children are developing and the children are using cell phones younger and younger these days. At 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, you got kids with their phones stuck to their ears.
Yeah, I know.
Because no one's using home phones anymore. It's all cell phones.
No, it doesn't make sense to use your home phone anymore. I mean, you're just paying double for phones.
Yeah.
But, Manu, we're going to take another short break because we have another guest and who's going to spend the next few minutes with us.
Yes.
So we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
All right.
Fall asleep. Only with PBS Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Harry Caray here. You know, two of my most favorite things in life besides the Cubs are Jews and Australians. And this BBS Talk Radio has them both on one show. Hey, this place is great. Okay, let's get back to California dreaming with my favorite Jew and Australian, Sam and Manu. Hey, Sam. Hey, Manu. Cubs with.
Okay, Manu. And we're back with our guest. And
yes.
This is Jacqueline Britton.
A different
Britton.
Guest, though.
Yes, that's a different guest, of course. An unexpected one, but a great one at that.
Thank you.
Hi, Jacqueline. Good morning.
Good morning, Sam. Good morning, Manu.
Good
nice
morning.
To meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Yeah, and Jacqueline's going to be a host on our station.
Oh, awesome.
She's going to start a show called
Curvy Fashionista, starting next Monday at 7 p.m.
Sounds good. And people love that name. I love that name, too. You know, it sounds kind of like a revolutionary, rebellious type of a thing. You know, I'm a fashionista, man, you know.
A curvy one.
So, so how did you, I mean, you obviously have a business. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yes, I do. I have a store in Seal Beach called Minx Fashion Shop. And really, our store concept and our radio show will be about modern looks for real women. And when I say real women, I don't mean the women on the catwalk or in the magazines, but the women you see walking down the street, the women in the grocery store, everyday women who have real figures, real concerns about their shape, who want to look good and feel good. And I think are really struggling with the images that the media puts out and the realities of their bodies.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
right.
You and me both.
Yeah, we already know, I think, that problem of the media projecting such messages to people, you know, that you have to be thin, you have to be skinny, and there's like a certain image. You're right. But real women, most people, are not like that.
I know. You see on a lot of television, right, you'll see the main female stars. And to look on them at television, you think, oh, well, they're normal, they're thin, you know. I mean, you can tell that they're thin. But it's not until you're actually on set, which I have been, and working alongside with them, that you realize, like, holy shit.
Really?
They're tiny. They are so super tiny. It's unbelievable. And we're not talking about just in size. We're talking about in height.
Yeah.
And we're talking about in size. I mean, literally, it's just, like, unbelievable. And you're just like, wow, I didn't realize she was so tiny.
But even women who are tiny, I mean, for us real women doesn't mean fat necessarily. It means real women, even the tiny ones, usually have some part of their body that's not their favorite part.
Yeah.
Right. So we're really going to be talking about how to maximize your assets. Even tiny women, they say, oh, you know, my chest is too flat, or my butt is too flat, or my legs are too short. And every woman has some part of her body that she's not happy with.
Yeah. Most short women deal with the legs too short thing.
Really?
They try to compensate with extremely ridiculously high heels.
Yeah.
Or platforms.
But exactly. I would imagine most people are not completely happy with their body. I mean, I think even those perfect looking models are not happy with their bodies. That's why they end up anorexic and all that, you know?
Exactly.
So it's a constant pressure, I think, right? Now, so what kind of clientele do you get? I mean, is it upscale? Is it ordinary people?
The clientele and the women that we really, I think, cater to are women who want affordable fashion. They want to be trendy. They want to look like they're hip and in style, but not necessarily spend a fortune on their wardrobe. So we really try to bring real women that today's looks at affordable prices.
Right.
And,
cool.
You know, I've been in the fashion business for 20 years, so I really am trying to impart some of the knowledge from that business to everybody, things about sizing and fit. And, you know, there's so many different ways that clothes are made in the market today, and I found when I opened my store how little people know about that and how confused they are about the sizing, and how come when I go to one store I'm a size 12 and in another store I'm a size 8 and another store nothing fits at all. And
no, you're right. If I go to like a Latina fashion store or something like that, even though they're large you know sizes, the large sizes don't fit me because of my height versus, you know, the width of my hip. Like, I'll find that the stomach is, like, way too big, and yet the thighs are just way too small for me.
Right.
Like, too big, too small, and too short.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's what you mean. I mean, it's like not necessarily when your body's totally proportional, right? So they make do they make special clothes for this, or is it just, you know, I mean,
you being specific of what you purchase.
Well, the thing is, in the fashion market, there are different segments that dictate the sizing. And that's what one of the first things we're going to be talking about in the first broadcast. And that's going to be the difference between junior sizing, contemporary sizing, missy sizing, plus size sizing, mm-hmm. and there's new things now called Junior Plus Size and Missy Update and what? Missy Contemporary, and the manufacturers out there manufacture in certain specs and size specs based on these categories, but I think the average consumer doesn't even realize what those categories are and what they mean for her sizing. Mm. Wow. On my store, I have a little decal in the front window that says Missy Sizes 4 to 16, and I hear people walking by on the sidewalk, and they keep saying, what does Missy Sizes mean? But yet, in the fashion industry, that's a term that's been used for years to dictate a particular kind of sizing. And the huge explosion in the last 10 years has been in contemporary sizing, which is like lines like BCBG, Max Studio, Theory, Laundry. Those lines have had huge explosion in the last 10 years. But they are what's called contemporary sizing, which is a very slim fit. It's made for a... I call it a starlet type body, like a Jennifer Aniston and a Courtney Cox, and it's
like straight up and down.
Straight up and down, up not and super down. Curvy. And right. that's where the explosion has been in the last 10 years in the fashion market.
Right.
And the Missy sizing kind of got left behind. In the old days, it was like a Corette and stuff like that. And today, you see like a Chico's is sort of like a Missy sizing, but their styling is like grandma.
yeah.
You know, nobody wants to look like that anymore. Even today's woman that's 60 doesn't dress like our mothers when they were 60 dressed.
No.
Yeah, that's so, true. That's true, yeah.
That's part of the show is going to be education, educating on how the different sizes are made and how to look for what's the size for your body type and what types of stores. And not just my store. It's not meant to be a... hour-long infomercial for my store. It's really to help to educate women on how to look for what's right for their body.
Yeah, no, and I mean, and that's what I got from you. That's why I was so excited about Jacqueline coming on the station, you know, because I think it would really fit in nicely. You know, we have a lot of women listening, and I think it's very relevant. You know, it's really relevant because I think it addresses issues that women deal with every day, you know, every moment of the day, and that is what am I going to wear? How am I going to look decent? How am I going to look presentable and not have to deal with all these clothes that seem to be made for mannequins?
Right.
Exactly. You know? So that's just going to be one part, will be education. And then the second part of the show is going to be trends. So each week we're going to talk about a different fashion trend and how to incorporate that into your body, into your wardrobe.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the third part's going to be fun, called Tales from the Fitting Room. And I deal with people every day in the fitting room, and you'd be amazed at some of the things that they say about themselves and about what they're looking for, and a lot of funny stuff comes out
of it. Wow, I imagine. I often thought what would it be like to put a camera in a dressing room, you know, the stuff you would see, or be a fly on the wall or something.
Oh, I already know what you'd be trying to do.
Yeah, well, don't badmouth me. We have a guest here. We have to have some respect. But we have a phone call. Let's see who that is.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the air with Sam, Manu, and Jacqueline.
Hey, how you doing, Sam?
Oh, fine. Familiar voice.
The record man in the house. How you guys doing today? I just want to say, first of all, Jacqueline, hats off to you for actually hitting a market that has been so overlooked and ignored because of Hollywood.
Thank you.
My wife's in the business as well. And I've been on the set of lots of shows. You know, those people that are actually getting cast and we look at and we go, oh, I want to look like that. When you see them off camera, like Manu said, these people are stick figures. I mean, they don't, almost some of them don't even look happy. And, you know, the rest of the world lives in, a different reality, and it's a reality that you're serving. And I just think that it's really important that we're playing. You know, helps women feel better about themselves because, you know, I mean, come on. They've been beat up enough because of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, that's true. Johnny, what about you? Do you wear unusual sizes or?
I still wear onesie t-shirts. I'm 46 years old.
Yeah, I know. You see, men are so boring. T-shirts and shorts. You know, that's about it.
My wife was telling me this week, and she goes, you're on one of those fashion makeover shows, and I said, don't even think about it.
Yeah.
The last thing you want to do is get a professional comic on one of those shows.
We'll make her over.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
Well, my wife is wonderful. She's, you know, she has curves. She's Italian. I personally prefer women that have shape.
Right.
That have, you know, when I take them out to dinner, they're going to eat their dinner. That's what I want. I never fell into the fantasy of Hollywood, even though I live here and work in the industry.
Yeah. They say you can tell how passionate a person is by how they eat their dinner.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. They eat with passion. Yeah. You know, they're passionate. If they pick like a bird, well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I never really thought about that, but that's true.
If they pick like a bird, that relationship is this contract.
Yeah.
An expiry date.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just wanted to call and say thanks. When I saw the show coming up, I was like, about time. It's about time. So welcome to the station. Welcome to the network. And anything I can do to help your show, let me know.
Thank you very much, Johnny.
Thank you, Johnny Dam. Thank you, Johnny, and we'll see you in a little bit.
All right. Take care, Sam.
Okay. So that's Johnny Dam, and he's our 2 o'clock man. Very involved with the station, and I just love Johnny. You know, he's great, he's funny, and always says what he thinks. So, and that's what the station's about. I do want to continue, but there's a couple things we wanted to play real quick, and you stay with us, Jacqueline. Pastor James David Manning that you mentioned.
Yes, you found him.
We should probably listen to that, huh? Let's see. I haven't heard it before.
You are aware of Pastor Jeremiah Wright.
Yes.
When he came on and did this whole spiel about really attacked Hillary Clinton and so on. Well, now we have another pastor. What was his name?
Manning. James David Manning.
James David Manning. Mm-hmm. He comes on and is the complete opposite, but an attack towards Obama. And we all know Obama has a white mother.
And grandmother, I think.
And grandmother. And he basically turned around and preached the word that he is born trash. He was born to a whore and et cetera, et cetera. And it was quite like this. I mean,
well,
it's like, why are we dealing with this? We're dealing with someone that was supposed to be trying to trust. But listen to it. Let's see what we have.
And these are people that that are supposed to be preaching love. Isn't that what religion is about, you know?
And this being on Raw Story, right, he then gets interviewed by a commentator.
And that's what we're going to hear, Hannity and Combe. Yeah, let's see what we can hear here.
Reverend Jeremiah Wright triggered controversy with his comments from the pulpit, and now another fiery pastor is caught on tape causing trouble for Barack Obama. This time, Harlem minister James David Manning, whose YouTube broadcast captures him delivering some hate-filled sermons against the Illinois senator.
Obama is a Mac Daddy. Obama pimps white women and black women. He got started. You didn't notice him till he brought out those big-chested white women with their tight t-shirts and their short pants. That's what a pimp does. Oh, come on! You don't get your campaign started with a big-chested white woman. She must be a 54D, double D. I haven't trashed him. I haven't trashed Obama. His African in-heat father went a-whoring after a trashy white woman. He was born trash. I said he was born trash. I didn't trash him. I'm speaking the truth about him. Now, once again, I am a diplomat, but I'm not a compromiser. I got a word in my mouth.
Is this guy like out of his mind or what?
I know.
I mean, how do you say this like publicly, even if you think that?
Do you feel what I'm feeling?
I'm in shock.
I'm in shock. It just sends chills down my body.
Yeah, that anybody would say this, especially the man in the pulpit, you know?
Yeah.
That's supposed to set
a comedian would get in trouble for saying that. How can
a
person
in
the pulpit?
Yeah.
Let's hear some more.
Exactly.
I said I got the word of God in my mouth, and God's not afraid of Obama or anybody else.
So is the pulpit the proper place for such commentary? With us now, the pastor of Harlem's Atla World Missionary Church, James David Manning. That's the person, the person we just saw on that tape.
The same.
Why do you say those things? Calling him trash, saying, a long-legged freak. And by the way, the video, he had nothing to do with that video. That was independently of Obama.
Yeah, but he could put out a disclaimer about that, but he never.
Okay, and what they were showing here, I'm sorry you guys didn't see it, but they were showing a video with Obama and some white girl, you know. But, she's like in a bikini or something, and he's like on the beach with his shorts.
But it's two different cuts. It's just a picture of him, and it just happens.
No, but they're also showing something here. I'll show you later.
No, I already know. I've seen the video, right? I know what the picture. There's two separate pictures of him on the beach, but they happen to have another picture of a white woman, you know, like a big-chested white woman in a bikini. Now, throughout the other set, when people are doing campaigning, right, they all wear shirts and so on and everything like that. Well, some people have come out with shirts and bootylicious, you know, wearing with Obama written on the shirts, and that's it. Now, Obama has absolutely nothing to do with whoever's designed this. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay. Let's hear anyway. Some more of what he has to say, because we're running out of time.
Yeah. Yeah, he has nothing to do with the video.
Why does he say he has nothing to do with it?
Why do you preach such language in a Christian church?
Well, you know, when you consider who Obama is and what he's trying to do and the danger that he represents for the African-American people, those words are mild compared to...
Calling him trash?
Absolutely. Listen, Obama lied on his mother and his father by saying that they were met at the Selma March, which is not true. So when a man lies on his mother and his father, I mean, what else can you say about he lies about his grandmother and depicts her as a typical white racist.
That's not what he said, by the way. He said she was a typical white person, which inferred
that she was also a racist.
He said things occasionally that made him cringe.
Well, at any rate, listen, a man that lies on his father and his mother, and I suspect there's a reason why he did that because of the things I've said, that he was born trash, and he was. But when you consider the fact that a man would lie on his mother and father.
Okay, so he's just hanging on to this mother and father thing.
Well, of course he is.
I don't see what it has to do with anything. But the fact is that there are just all of these hatred, all of this hatred and hateful people are coming out of the woodworks now.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
I think they just want a reaction. I mean, I think at some level they have to know that, you know, they can't really be saying stuff like that, but they say it for to get a reaction, to have their 5 minutes of fame, to be played on the news a gazillion times over.
Yeah, I know. And he deliberately had it broadcasted on YouTube. So those who really want to see the depth of that sermon, you can find it on YouTube, his full sermon. But if you want to see his interview with... What's the name again?
Hannity and Combs.
You can go into www.rawstories.com, and then you go in, and it's actually a very great link anyways, great website to go to, because it actually gives you snippets and clips of the real stuff that is really coming out of the woodworks throughout the entire world, and of course our government here.
Yeah.
Real stories.
All right. Well,
the real news.
Before the editing.
Yeah, exactly. Before the editing.
Yeah. But, I mean, I just can't. I can't believe the stuff that people say, you know. And it seems to be black leaders, too, you know. I mean, I don't know. They seem to be, like, the biggest racists there are, you know. I mean, look at Al Sharpton. Look at Jesse Jackson. Look at all these people. I mean, they're
Bacon.
I don't see any of them even closely resembling Martin Luther King with his way of doing things.
When it benefits them, they pull out the race card.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like you don't want racism, but you're the ones who always start it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a problem, you know. But the good news is that I'm finding the man on the street, most people, most black people are not racist. Most white people are not racist. And I'm seeing people getting along all day long.
And that
encourages me, you know. And there's so many nice people. Of them, you know. In fact, we're bringing on a new show with three people, and you know, and that's going to be awesome. You know, I just felt like they're part of the family, you know. So I wish people would realize that we've made a lot of progress, I think, and forget about those leaders and stuff. You know, talk about your man on the street, the woman on the street, and I think you have a different thing altogether.
Different thing going.
Yeah. So anyway, Jacqueline, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me as a guest.
Thank you.
Sure. We're looking forward to your show. That's next Monday night at 7 here on BBS Talk Radio, and that's Curvy Fashionista.
That's right. Thank you.
Okay. And Manu, where are you going today?
Well,
you're going to confront the man?
No, I've been asked to come in for a meeting at 3:30. So,
okay.
Well, I'm not working.
Well, good.
They've asked me to come in at 3:30, so I have no idea. I won't know. I guess I'll find out later today whether I have a job or not.
Yeah. So, yeah, so don't go drinking before. Wait to drink till after the bad news.
Or smoke.
Yeah. So, okay, well, we have to say goodbye. Thank you so much for listening. We always have fun in here. And Manu is going to be in a better mood yesterday. Well, you know, actually, you did transform yourself in the past couple hours, which means the show is good for you. Because you came in here like a firecracker, man. You were ready, like dynamite. You were ready to blow me out of here.
No, and it's not blowing you. I'm just like trying to make something that was very clear, that it's this, it's evident, you know, how this country is run versus what other countries, how they're run.
Okay.
When it comes to people who are on minimum wages or low income.
Yeah.
I've just never seen anything like it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Manu. And And so we're going to say goodbye, and we'll be back tomorrow.
You're listening to California Dreaming with your hosts, Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.